This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
About Morris going to the Lakers or the Clippers, and we talked about how like a lot of that stuff would pivot. And so if he would have gone to the Lakers, then Danny Green would have been made available. But he instead he went to the Clippers. But
it would have relieved you, though, of the 2020 pick and the Courtney Lee contract, though. That's the key, right? Like, you kind of want to just get rid of that contract.
That the contract, sure, but it doesn't hurt you to keep it. The pick, I don't necessarily need to get rid of that. Definitely the defensive presence that he would have brought. But that wasn't like a done deal. Like, I'm not sad about that because it wasn't a lock that, you know, the Lakers were going to throw in Kuzma or whatever and make the move for Marcus Morris and then we were going to get Danny Green. I thought it was a toss-up all along that he'd go to the Clippers or the Lakers. And that's why the Mavericks didn't get Danny Green because he ended up going to the Clippers. So I could live with that.
What about the idea? So here, at this point now, Shippy, and I know you're real big in the buyout market. That's where you invest most of your money.
Yeah.
The buyout market is where the Mavericks can make an addition. And based on what they were trying to add during the trade segment, Kevin, it looks like they think perimeter defense and shooter. Yeah. You know, 3-and-D guy is what they're still trying to find because you want as many of those as you can get on the floor.
Sure.
We saw the scoring chart the other day. The shot chart is ridiculous now. So if that's what they're trying to do, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, they kicked the tires on him. He has an expiring $13 million contract. He will have to talk to Charlotte about a buyout. He is a buyout candidate. Any other buyout candidates have to approach their team and say, buy me out, and then negotiate an exit price.
That's exactly the kind of person I would love to come here. I wonder how many people are just going to try to jump on the LA bandwagon, be it the Clippers or the Lakers or even the Bucks, actually, because those are like, if you had to say it right now, it's those three and it's everybody else. Like, those three are your overwhelming favorites to win the championship: Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. And then everybody else is in another category, including the Mavericks. Now, the cool thing for the Mavericks are they are part of that next 9-team clump. But if you told me, hey, LeBron wants you to come here, or Kawhi wants you to come here, or Giannis wants you to come here, I'm probably going to go in that direction. But I hope the Mavericks can pick up some people.
All right,
there
there you go. That's the discussion there, Kevin. A lot of people are texting in No Shirt Noon. It used to be the No Shirt Nine, but for a very small period of time, Shippy, we did elevate the No Shirt Noon. I think that was the time we got Michael Irvin to No Shirt Noon it. We almost convinced Stephen Jones to No Shirt Noon it. And then Jerry said that there were pictures out there. So that was an amazing moment in history. We've had some very great conversations with Jerry Jones. That's one of the perks of being the home of the Cowboys, Kevin.
That was definitely the most notable conversation we ever had with Jerry.
Giannis is the worst captain ever, Kevin.
You guys get your damn act together.
Is he?
Yes.
Or does the NBA announce that they don't think Luka's that great?
What are you talking? Are you kidding me, dude? Are you serious right now?
What the hell, dude?
He got taken after Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because Giannis thought he had to draft people from the East.
Yeah. I'm just kidding about...
Clearly nobody gave him the rules.
Before people freak out, I'm just kidding about that. I am legitimately wondering... I'm legitimately wondering if Giannis didn't know that he could draft from the entire pool of starters. Because think about it. If you're LeBron... The Western Conference already has five of the best six players, right?
Uh-huh.
And the only one they don't have wasn't eligible to be drafted because it was Giannis, all right? So if you're LeBron, you can look at the Western Conference starters and be like, uh-huh, I'm going to take all of those because those are the other best six players in the league. If you're Giannis, is Joel Embiid a top six player? No. Siakam? No. Walker? No. Trae Young? No. And then did you see what he did with his first pick of the reserves?
He took his teammate.
Look.
Hey, I respect that.
I like Chris Middleton as much as the next person, but you want Chris Middleton on your team more than Damian Lillard? More than Nikola Jokic? More than Jimmy Butler? Hell no.
Yeah, so, and Kevin...
His team is going to get...
Well, he's still got Jimmy Butler at 15.
Yeah,
what a steal.
That was
a real value pick.
Yeah, but like, right after Chris Middleton is Damian Lillard. I mean, come on.
It is weird because LeBron was like, yeah, I'm just going to keep picking from the West, too. And it, I mean, it made sense that they did that.
Until eventually he took Ben Simmons.
He was like, we are not going to shoot any threes in this game.
And again,
Giannis definitely has the height advantage.
I like Bam Adebayo just fine, but I'm not taking him above Nikola Jokic or Ben Simmons. Or, hell, I might not even take him ahead of Domantas Sabonis, who went dead last.
Dang, what does LeBron think of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert at this point?
Oh, man. LeBron thinks that Donovan Mitchell sucks.
Yeah, dude. All right, so that being said, I know it was a great move to go ahead and take his teammate Anthony Davis number one overall.
Smart.
But in reality, is that the player you're taking first? Are you taking Kawhi first?
No, I think I am taking Anthony Davis first because I know how much Kawhi cares and doesn't care. So I don't think I'm taking him. I don't think I'm taking him then. Also, I believe it or not, I think I take Luka with my next pick because you know Luka, I know, injury concern aside, you know he cares about this game. I wonder if Kawhi Leonard cares about this game at all. He's like, load management, bro. If you told Luka, that he needs to play 40 minutes in this game and it's weird new format, I'm sure he'd be like, sounds good. And so I think I would have taken Luka next.
You know Luka's giving you everything you got in this
game. I agree.
And James Harden's going to show up and compete. James Harden's going to be out there competing too.
Because James Harden cares the most about what other people think.
Oh, man, you're right.
So
that's why he goes to like rec leagues just plays all the time because he's like, man, I want to own some people and show them how good I am.
He's what the kids describe as a tryhard. So I would put James Harden.
Try hard.
I would move James Harden up the list, and Kawhi Leonard probably would have been like near the bottom of my picks. Not because he's not good, just because I don't think he particularly cares. And then there's no question that Damian Lillard would have been my top reserve pick because he's like, he might be the best player in the NBA at this particular moment, and he's got to be pissed. He's not a starter.
What if this is Giannis's moment, his Jimmy Butler moment? What if Giannis is like, I'm going to pick a team that's not all the superstars in the West, and I'm going to roll in here and destroy you.
He's going to win the All-Star game Dirk style.
Yeah, you remember when Jimmy Butler went into that practice
and
was like,
super team.
Give me all the bench players, and I'm going to whoop everybody in here. And then he did. What if that's what Giannis is saying? Because he's such a competitor that he's just like, you know what? I'm going to show all you guys.
All right. So I just want to compare real quick, and let's determine how crushing this defeat would be. All right. Who would you rather have, Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid?
Anthony Davis.
All right. That's one. Kawhi Leonard or Pascal Siakam?
Kawhi.
It's two. Luka or Kemba?
Luka.
It's three. Harden or Trae Young?
Harden.
That's four.
Yeah. And I don't even like Harden that much.
I wanted to say Trae Young just because I don't like Harden.
Yeah, I feel you.
But but you know he'll show up for this.
Yeah.
Dame.
Oh, yeah, no defense?
Yeah. Dame or Middleton?
Absolutely Damian Lillard.
Dame.
Ben Simmons or Bam Adebayo?
Pass.
I might take Bam there.
Big push.
Okay, fine. That's the best result so far. Jokic or Gobert?
Jokic.
All right.
Jeez, this is sad.
Yeah. This might be win one for Giannis, maybe.
Now, which side do you think has the coaching advantage?
Okay, hold on. I got four more.
Oh, no, I
just want to really crush it home. Tatum or Butler?
Butler.
Yeah.
Man, Tatum's good, though.
Butler.
Paul or Lowry?
Lowry.
Paul.
Dude, Chris Paul has been awesome.
Yeah. Chris Paul, though. That's my hard moment.
Ibala.
Westbrook or Brandon Ingram?
Westbrook.
Yeah, and Westbrook.
Domantas Sabonis or Donovan Mitchell?
Absolutely Sabonis. The way he's playing right now, man.
All right.
I'll take Mitchell.
Okay.
Because I like spiders.
So
I actually don't. I really hate them. I don't know why I said that.
What is happening in your brain right now? So, okay, if you include Giannis as the captain and give them the advantage, that's a max of 3 out of 12. So if they win, well, bravo to them.
So Nick Nurse is going to coach the team Giannis. That's how that's going to go. Okay. Nick Nurse is coaching, is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
That's a good coach right there.
Sure.
I mean, that's a good coaching advantage.
You see what they're doing without Kawhi is, I have been astonished by that. So, yeah.
I don't know who's coaching the West.
Oh.
Nobody, okay. Nobody knows.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All yeah. right. Well, if they don't have a coach, then I'll definitely give the advantage to them. Now, something that you sent over, I was kind of shocked by because I just dismissed this all along. Was Dez working out at the Star?
Yeah, and if you, it looks like Red Auerbach is going to be coaching
what?
The West. Kevin,
no, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Okay, never mind. I'll get back to that in just a minute. It's Larry Vogel.
Okay.
It turns out, Kevin, he was not working out at the Star. He was working out at the Star, and the Star is an area now. It's like the ranch up in McKinney, Craig Ranch. You know, like,
so he's in the greater Frisco area.
So there is a location, the Baylor Scott and White facility across the street, like around the corner, is the Star. But everybody kind of posed it as he's working out at the Star because it's an area. Okay, so he was working out at that facility. He's 10 pounds lighter. He says he wants to do. He doesn't want to be a focal point of any team at 31 years old, and he just wants to be a guy that does red zone stuff. You know, just I want to be a red zone guy. I don't want to be a guy that invades, you know, a locker room and takes it over. I just want to be a contributor on a team.
He's only 31.
Yeah, the injuries. There were a lot of injuries that, you know, that have kind of plagued that man for a long time.
I'm not kidding you. I would have told you that I thought for sure he was at least 35. That is seriously.
Is that why you kept saying like is that why your thought on him never coming back is because he was so old?
Yeah.
See, my thing was that he looked a little heavy, but he's lost weight and he looks great, man. But he always did look carved out of a mountain. You know, yeah. Jason Garrett used to say that all the time. You could be carved out of a mountain, but can you run all day? And you know, he looks like he's doing all the right things. He wants to contribute at 31 years old, Kevin.
I guess it is astonishing because now I wanted to look this up now too. When because you know, I told you without getting into the details of it, I was watching the second part of the Michael Vick 30 for 30 when he made his comeback with the Eagles. He was 28, and people thought he was washed up because like obviously he was out and he was in prison. I thought he was way older than that at 28. Like you would like to think that you can still dial it up. That is
he's probably got in great shape in prison too.
You know what? Actually, believe it or not, he did not. They just talked about it. Even Andy Reid said he was chunky. Oh. He said he looked a little doughy, and I was like, fascinating. But
from prison food?
How's that possible?
I don't know, but it has to be a weird thing to know that your chosen career and profession is done with you at the age of 31.
Dude, it might not be. He's trying out on Twitter.
Okay.
He needs to try out with a team.
Okay, but yes or no? You can only pick one. Does Dez ever play in the NFL again?
Ooh, hold on. Ask me in a different way. Ask me if I want Dez Bryant on my team.
No, I will not. Do you?
Ask me if I want Dez Bryant.
Do you want Dez on your team?
Absolutely, I want Dez Bryant on my team.
That's a no right there.
What do you mean?
So at 31, to be told by your profession, we don't need you anymore.
It's kind of weird. It is kind of weird.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk some future NFL Hall of Famers. Essentially, we'll be the first people to break the news to you. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
I have a feeling that we might get into a bit of an argument here as we start to discuss some future Hall of Famers. Now, Kevin, there's a lot on this weekend that I know you're really excited about. The Mavericks versus the Wizards. And you did bring that up earlier. You really are... very interested in scouting Bradley Beal and seeing how he would fit with this team, right?
I think he would fit very well with this team, so I really want to see it.
Do you accept, because the Mavericks are going to say this today, and Fish is right when he said this, the Mavericks are going to tell you today that they have plenty of time,
yep,
that we're not in any rush. Fish says, I heard him with Sean and RJ this morning, he said, you know what, why not go get a championship now? Why not make that swing that trade for that championship now? And I did want to know before we get into this Hall of Fame discussion, do you agree with that method of go ahead and, I mean, trade what it is, whatever value you had, and lose a piece maybe?
If now means next year, yes. If now, like, literally meant now, as in this season, no, because you can't win this year.
Not even if you add Beal.
now.
Not enough experience for, I mean, for Luka?
None of these people have been in the playoffs before. Like, none of your primary pieces have been in the playoffs before. They're not just going to steamroll past Kawhi, past LeBron, past Giannis. Like, all of those people think this is their destiny. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you made it as far as you did last year and needed to be humbled so you could win it this year. If you're LeBron...
Very much Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. That is very similar. And it was
getting that close motivates you that much more, right?
And that's a great analogy because Pat Mahomes was ready to take over the league, but he didn't win. And then he won the next year. Giannis is clearly ready to be the face of the NBA, but then he didn't win. So maybe he will this year. If you're LeBron, you're looking at it like, I'm going to win as the anchor of a championship on a third different team. This is why I brought this team together. This is my destiny. And if you're Kawhi, you're like, I just wanted to show I am also moving to my third different team. And maybe I am ready to truly be the face of the NBA. So the Mavericks cannot win the NBA championship this year. So I think it was fine. Yeah, sorry. I hope that's not like breaking news
the
for
Mavericks,
people.
Because you don't think that Luka thinks that it's his destiny?
I mean, he could think that all he likes, but that does not fit with the narrative of a second-year player who's never made the playoffs. Like, how is it his destiny? Because he's good? Like, it takes more than that. Jordan was good. Oh, I mean, obviously he was great, but he had to be humbled. Like, you see this all throughout the history of the NBA. NBA teams, more often than not, have to be humbled before they can win the championship. I don't know why that is more than any other sport in the NBA, but it is what it is. And the Mavericks aren't going to win the NBA championship this year.
I guess even Dirk got humbled once, twice.
Yes. I mean, and
twice.
Like, and you could look back to 03 as like one of those spots where people thought they were going to break through, and then the obvious of 06. Or you could also argue 07. And so.
But you knew that whenever Dirk and the Heat matched up in that second one, the Mavericks wouldn't lose.
And do you know why?
Because it was destiny.
Because he had already been humbled.
Yeah.
What had not happened? The big three in Miami, they had not suffered yet. Wow. I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm dead serious.
You know
man.
What? And that's that, you know, that right there, Kevin, that's why. That gives me hope for the Rangers after what happened in Game 6.
All right.
With Nelson Cruz.
That's what gives me hope and love.
Because that's why I live with it, Kevin, so that we can have that revenge and the glory when it happens. All right, I found a Hall of Fame list from Shireen Williams on Pro Football Talk, Kevin. And it has the future Hall of Famers. And I'm very – the classes, like we were talking about, hey, what's the next Cowboy that could possibly get in that's like not Darren Woodson? Because the generations of Cowboys, DeMarcus Ware is on that list. He's a shoe-in.
And he's it, right?
He and Witten?
Yeah, but he's not even retired yet.
Will,
so that's 5 years.
Will Romo be a question?
No.
Will his name be brought up?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you look at the pool of people who make the semifinals, he'll definitely be in the mix, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
This list was compiled by Clark Judge of the Talk of Fame Network, Kevin. Here are the 2021 eligible candidates. Jared Allen.
Okay.
All right. Steven Jackson.
Do you think Jared Allen would ride into his Hall of Fame speech?
I would hope so. On that horse, or just do a video of coming back from the sunset.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I want it to be. Hey, I'm back just for a little bit, though, because remember I rode off in the sunset that one time. Steven Jackson, running back.
No.
He was good. He was a lot of fun to watch. But you're right. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Jared Allen, I'm inclined to think probably. But who else we got?
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I think the induction of Terrell Davis set the stage for Calvin Johnson, who, I mean, what was he in the league? 8 years? 9 years? But he was a freaking force when he was in there, and the same thing could be argued about. Like, if you look at Terrell Davis, I think Terrell Davis was in the NFL for 8 years, and for 4 years, he was the best. You could probably make that same argument for Calvin Johnson. He was in the league 8 or 9 years, and probably for 4 years, he was the best.
Was he, how many times was he an All-Pro?
4 times.
Jeez. And at a position that I, in an era, Kevin, I think that it changed. Becoming an All-Pro in this era is completely different because of how many good receivers there are.
He also led the league in yards twice. He led the league in catches and then led the league in touchdowns.
And you know what? I think he owns more weed shops than any other former receiver. Oh. So that's a cool thing too. I'm sorry about bringing up Game Six, everybody. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to.
Where's that jar?
We're trying to live. We're trying. When y'all bring a jar, I'll probably stop. Logan Mankins.
Okay.
Peyton Manning.
Sure.
Is he a first ballot?
Yes.
Jared Mayo, linebacker. From those Patriots teams that won.
Okay.
Heath Miller.
No.
Okay. Charles Peanut Tillman.
Maybe for the nickname alone.
He created the peanut punch.
Okay.
What?
That's not.
He was great, man. Plus, he's an FBI agent now. That's awesome.
No, he's out.
What?
There's no chance.
Justin Tuck. Man.
Also noted Jared Mayo.
Michael Vick.
No.
Really?
Michael Vick is not a Hall of Famer. He could have been a Hall of Famer.
He should have been a Hall of Famer.
I mean, and I'm in the midst of watching that 30 for 30, and, you know, there's a lot of talk of he's like the better version of Vince Young in terms of what people were knocking him for is not putting the studying work in to go with the talent.
Wes Welker.
Yep.
Interesting.
Wes Welker reinvented a position. I might not care for him, but he's in.
Kevin Williams, defensive tackle. One of the Williams boys.
Okay.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah. Charles Woodson's in.
So Calvin Johnson, Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, and Charles Woodson are the ones you're putting in out of next year's class.
Yeah, I think I might be inclined to put Kevin Williams in as well because I had to double check. He clicked the box that whatever reason voters seem to care about a lot. Is all decade.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that's a huge thing. We've talked about it before. So, like, okay, why is Jared Allen in? So he led the league in sacks twice, and he was a first-team All-Pro four times. All right? I think he's in. Calvin Johnson, four-time All-Pro, led the league in receiving yards twice, led the league in touchdowns once, led the league in receptions once. I think he's in. So Allen and Johnson. Jerod Mayo, no. Charles Tillman, no. Kevin Williams, not only is he an all-decade selection, he made first-team All-Pro five times. Charles Woodson was an All-Pro first or second team eight times. He was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He made the all-decade team, led the league in interceptions twice. So Woodson, Williams, obviously Peyton is in, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. Those are my initial thoughts for the five that would get in. Are those all first-time people then?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's problematic then.
Because now there are still other people that are trying to get in.
Exactly.
That's a big group of people to get in, too.
And they take a max of six modern candidates in a regular year, so that's problematic for them.
All right, then the next season's going to be even harder, okay? Next season gets even more difficult. By the way, what do you think would make more money, Kevin? A Game 6 jar... or a Game 6 pool for Tolos. Everybody puts in $1 and figures out which segment I'll drop Game 6 on them. What do you think?
Man, you know what I was already thinking? If every Tolo put $1 in their own jar every time you said that, we could build a pool in like a day. So, I mean, I think the jar because we all want you to suffer.
All right. Class of 2022.
Okay.
Anquan Boldin.
I don't think so. I think he's in
the Hall
of... He was
a man of the year. He's a Super Bowl champion.
No.
He went to multiple Super Bowls.
He's out. He's in the Hall of very good.
Chad Greenway. Very good linebacker.
Okay. Let's check his bona fides.
Andre Johnson.
Yeah, because there was a time where I could definitely look at Andre Johnson and say, you are the best in the league. And, you know, that's kind of my criteria for that. And I don't know if all Hall of Famers operate strictly off of that, but... there was absolutely a time when he operated off of that. All right.
If Calvin gets in, I think Andre deserves to be in.
I think Calvin Johnson is better, though, no?
I liked both of them, like, equally. I'd probably give slight edge to Calvin, but okay. I loved Andre Johnson.
Andre's in consideration. Chad Greenway, no.
Mario Williams.
No, although it is really fascinating to see Mario Williams turned out better than everybody else in that draft class. Like, Remember how much the Texans got clowned for making that decision? They're like, you're so stupid. Why wouldn't you take Vince Young or Matt Leinart or whoever? And Mario Williams probably turned out to be the best of that group. No.
Tony Romo.
No.
Oh, you dismissed that really quickly, dude.
Yeah, that was fast.
That was too fast.
Okay, tell me.
I think you just need to stop being such a hater.
Okay, that's great. Tell me why.
If you think Kevin's too much of a hater, text in right
okay.
now.
Okay,
and just text in hater.
That's fine. But if you think
hater.
That I'm a hater, that segment, I would be a hater every time. But, like, I just want to make sure everybody knows, I never say anything that I don't believe. I've heard a couple of people like, oh, you're just saying, no. Tell me one opinion that you think I have that I don't really believe. Here's the candidacy for Tony Romo. You heard all the other comparisons we made, right? Here's the candidacy for Tony Romo. He was the passer rating leader one time, and he was second team All-Pro one time. That's his, the entirety of his Hall of Fame resume.
All right, so most of DFW, I'd love to get the answer on this. You get this guy, you get Romo, or DeMarcus Ware? Because DeMarcus Ware is on this list. He's a shoe-in.
It's DeMarcus. Okay. I'm glad that you use that as an example.
He's a shoe-in.
All right, do me a favor and listen to why I say what I say. All right? Tony Romo, what they judge it on. He was second team All-Pro one time and led the league in passing one time. That's his resume, okay? Here's DeMarcus Ware's. He was All-Pro first or second team seven times, led the league in sacks twice, and is on the All-Decade team. Like, that's the kind of resume that you need. I'm not dismissing that Tony Romo was a good player. He ain't a Hall of Famer, and it ain't even a conversation. The conversation goes like this. Is Tony Romo a Hall of Famer? No.
If you think Kevin is a hater for that opinion, or fact, depending on how you look at it.
It's a fact.
Send him your favorite latest mock draft on Twitter at
OthinkKevin.
All right, Robert Mathis.
The judge? Judge Mathis? Oh, he's in for sure.
Steve Smith.
I don't think so.
Oh, God, I love Steve Smith, though.
Okay, ice up, son.
I love Steve Smith. From this era, I need him to be remembered, dude. I need him to be remembered.
He should get in over Wes Welker.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I agree.
Mm.
That dude right there put the fear of God in other coaches. Coaches hated having to defend that guy.
All right, let's do a resume comparison. By the way, Judge Mathis, he's in. Robert Mathis, he's out.
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, Vince Wilfork is probably in. Okay, but that's not why I'm putting them all in. All right, so Vince Wilfork, I'm guessing he's probably in. He was first or second team All-Pro four times. You know what? Actually, now that I look about it a little bit more, Vince Wilfork was only All-Pro first team one time. This is the kind of person that's like, could kind of go either way. So I just want to compare I want to compare the resumes. So Steve Smith, first team All-Pro twice, second team All-Pro once. Wes Welker, first team All-Pro twice, second team twice. So slight advantage to Wes Welker. But Steve Smith was the NFL receptions leader and yardage leader and touchdown leader all in the same year. Wes Welker led the league in receptions three times, and that's the key part. I would put Wes Welker in ahead of Steve Smith because I think of him more like revolutionizing the position.
But Steve Smith didn't play slot.
Exactly.
Like, he could have played slot and just dominated that,
and
but he was an outside guy.
And that's problematic for him because as an outside guy, he's in the Hall of Good.
Being his size and playing outside, doing what he did was exceptional, man. I disagree with you on this, and that's what I thought would happen. And there's another, the 2023 class, we can do that one off air, and I'll tweet it out if everybody wants me to. But I think there's more room in the 2023 class for there's not that many great players. There's a couple, but not that many. DeMarco Murray's on that list. So
yeah, I mean, they'll put anybody on. I would probably be for that group. I would be inclined to say DeMarcus Ware first, then Welker, then Wilfork, then Steve Smith.
All right,
that would probably be the order I would go. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Hank Aaron is a genius, and we should all listen to him.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Plus, AJ Hinch also thinks his team kind of sucks. We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. About to get into this AJ Hinch story, as well as what Hank Aaron thinks about the Houston Astros and what they deserve. Kevin, really quickly, though, there are two stories heating up on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram right now, and you can check it out, one of them on 105.3thefan.com. One, there is a story, that, according to the Star-Telegram, that Dez Bryant has made no secret, right, about wanting to return to the Cowboys. Stephen Jones says that he has texted me that he would like to come back. We have nothing but great respect for Dez and what he accomplished here. Certainly, as we look forward into the future, we look at all opportunities and all potential players that could maybe help us out. So that Dez Bryant has texted Stephen Jones and said, hey, I would like to join the team. Also, this story right here, and I think we kind of know this, but it's...
Is it the $33 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
But this is, it's just weird for the quarterback to say, all right, we are getting close to signing a $33 million deal. I want more.
You know why, right? If you, do you remember why that was? Because, like, this story is kind of older, but maybe they have more details on it. But it was that they negotiated this at the beginning of the season, and then he was balling out, and so then they said he wanted more. So you remember when we had Steven and Jerry and everybody on, and they're like, well, how he's doing now doesn't really impact, but it did. That's proof that it did.
Steven Jones said yesterday, we want to get this done. Things are fixing to heat up. We want to put every foot forward and try to grind this out and get a deal done.
Great.
So there you go, Kevin. It was $33 million at one point. He wanted more because he was playing better.
Did he ask for less after that when he played less good?
This is what Steven says. I know he wants to get his contract in the rearview mirror, and we want it too. We want him to be treated well financially, respectfully. We're going to have a real urgency to get this done. So there you go, Kevin. We'll discuss this a little more as we get some more details on that as well. That's what Steven Jones is saying, though, about getting things are fixing to heat up.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel good?
No. I take their word frequently the same as the new coaches. I'll believe it when I see it.
All right. It is getting hot in here, Shippy. You're right. The other story, though, is Hank Aaron. Kevin has
he's the best.
Has spoken out about good old Astros, all right? And we'll get to AJ Hinch. Basically, it sounds like he's admitting it. But we'll get into that subject in just a minute. But here's Hank Aaron talking about the Astros scandal.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised.
They didn't steal signs back in your day?
They did. They didn't steal them that way.
Do you think the punishment fit the crime?
No, I don't. I think whoever did that should be out of baseball the rest of their life.
Damn right.
I don't think that anybody disagrees with that either.
Except for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think that's because they just felt, could they be sued?
By would it look,
well,
the Players Association, I guess.
I also wonder because maybe it was a little more rampant than they thought. And they did, at the beginning of the discussion, they said, be honest with us and you'll get, you know, a lighter treatment, right? Like, they made that agreement with Major League, with the players. Be honest with us and give us our information, and we'll try and help you cover a lot of this up. And what they found out was so many more people were probably doing it. And so that's why I think that they were like, all right, guys, we got to scale back on this, though.
And so that's why they had to ease up?
Yeah.
So if it, okay.
Because, Kevin, just imagine if they said Altuve, blah, 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 y'all are all gone.
Awesome.
And they knew other guys were doing it, too, that other teams were doing it, too. I'm lighting a fire on everything. If I can't get, you know, what I deserve, man, I feel I deserve an opportunity to play, then I'm lighting a fire on the entire league. And you know what's going to happen? Nobody's ever going to trust y'all again.
Okay. So I just want to make sure, if you found out it was, let's say, just the Astros or just the Astros and the Red Sox, then do you think, and like they checked the ins and outs of every other team, they're all clean. Do you think then Major League Baseball would have felt much more empowered to be like, oh, the hell with you. You're going down in flames.
Yeah, and maybe if, and I also wonder about like some other kind of proof that they may have been looking for too. Like there's a lot of, you know, here's what was going on stories. But, you know, a lot of times you catch somebody in the act, you can be a lot more vigilant about it, right? Like you catch your son in the act of doing something rather than you hear about it from somebody else. You're like, okay, hold on, what happened?
Okay.
You know, so I do kind of wonder sometimes if that's the situation. And AJ Hinch was asked about the World Series. And they said, hey, is your World Series tainted by the sign stealing scandal? And this is a weird answer, Kevin.
I love this answer.
It's a fair question. And I think everyone's going to have to draw their own conclusion. That answer is brilliant. Because there's so much other interpretation of what went on, but nobody really knows, right?
Yeah, and I like that answer. AJ Hinch is smart.
He added, I hope over time it's proven that it wasn't.
Okay.
But I understand the question. Unfortunately, we opened that door. Unfortunately, no one can really answer that question. I can't pinpoint what advantages or what happened or exactly what happened otherwise, but we did it to ourselves. I think the jury's still out on exactly what the Houston players are going to say.
Now, that's somebody who got themselves some media training or somebody who believes in honesty, because you heard all of the nonsense from the Astros players. Oh, does this taint your World Series? Well, no. What do you mean, no? You can't. I mean, like, you could say whatever you want. But if you think those questions are going to go away, you have to understand what people think the narrative is, right? And people in the media and the fan base, the narrative has been created. The Houston Astros only won the World Series because they cheated. Would you agree that that seems to be the prevailing
Absolutely.
Narrative?
Yes.
All right. So you can't come out and say, no. Like, you can give a more nuanced answer, and you can say, I don't think so because there were clutch situations and blah, blah, blah. Like, give your answer, and then maybe you got a shot. But you can't just say, oh, no, I don't think so, because then people are going to keep asking the question. What I don't understand why people don't get about how the media works, because they're like, well, you know, we've answered that and hopefully now the media will move on. No, they won't. Unless they get their pound of flesh, then they're not going to move on. And you can say, I'm going to take a stand against that, and that's fine. And I totally understand that. But just be prepared for the questions. They go on and on and on.
Is he going to keep getting asked those
yes.
questions?
Yeah. Well, Hinch or
yeah.
the... I don't think so.
Now after that?
Because think about it.
He was the fall guy for not doing his job.
Exactly.
Like, not telling the players, hey, don't do that. Like, he knew it was going on, but he was like, I don't know how much this is helping us.
What?
I mean, you look at the numbers, and you're like, man, that actually is kind of helping pretty good. Oh. But he didn't say, hey, stop.
Well, and then, so that's why I think his answer is great. It's a fair question. And I think everyone's going to have to draw their own conclusion. You're going to the source. Do you think that you cheating helped you win? Maybe. Like, that's his answer, essentially, right? He said, over time, I hope it's proven that, which is what you need to say. You definitely need to say that. But essentially, his answer, Corey, was did cheating get you the World Series? He said, maybe.
But nobody cares.
Well, I mean, depending on how mad you were about the situation, I might even say that. But I thought his answer was really smart, because then people won't go back to him. You know what they're going to do instead? They're going to go to Correa, to Springer, to Altuve, etc. And they're going to say, your former manager said that that could have contributed to you winning the World Series. What do you say now? And nobody's going to go back to AJ Hinch and say, oh, your player said that's nonsense. What do you think? Because then he'll be like, you can't, I mean,
you know
I
what?
Don't know.
You know what Alex Bregman's going to say?
I wish I was a little bit taller.
No, he's not going to say
that's
that.
That's what Altuve would say.
That's a Skilo. No, Alex Bregman's going to say the Major League Baseball did their investigation.
Yeah.
And well, that's what they found out.
Then Alex Bregman is a fool, because
that's what he said last
okay,
time he was
fine.
Asked questions.
Well, guess what, Alex Bregman? That's why your owner came out and said, we're going to need to give a team statement, because you guys made effing fools of yourselves the first time. Think about this. All right. Think about this. The owner of the team who wants this to go away more than anything in the world, he put out a statement or gave multiple interviews when he goes,
he fired his GM and coach.
Yeah. Is that the end of it?
Nope.
No, because he realized it wasn't the end of it. So then what did he do? He said, listen to this clip. He said, look, when we get to spring training, we're going to get the team together and we're going to make a statement where I would assume we would apologize. And then like 10 seconds later, he goes, so yeah, we're going to need to apologize. So he was even stepping in for his players and admitting, yeah, my players made fools of themselves. So we're going to have a team meeting. And you know how that team meeting is going to go? Listen, everybody thinks that we cheated to win this World Series. And if you think denial is going to make it go away, think again. So we're going to give a statement, we're going to apologize and hope for the best, which is probably what they should have done, I don't know, months ago.
I think, Kevin, you were talking about, when I say nobody cares, the fans don't care. You know, even if they're
like the Astros fans?
Yeah, even if they're mad, because they got to celebrate the party, man. They got to celebrate a World Series. And so yes, here's what's going to happen every time they mention we won a World Series. And you probably don't even talk about it that much, right? If you're an Astros fan now, you're just like, eh, whatever. But if somebody throws out, like if a Rangers fan is to say something, they'll say, I mean, we won a World Series. And then what's going to happen? Yeah, but y'all had to cheat to get it. Yeah, whatever, but we still got it.
Yeah, that's...
And that's what I mean by nobody cares, because that moment can't be taken away.
You're 100% right.
Game six.
All right, I got it.
But well, we can't take that away from them.
All right, so that would be my response before I wanted to stab you in the head with a pen, is my response would be, don't you wish you would have cheated?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I don't want to go further down this path, but if you told me your two options are... live with 2011 the way it happened, or bend a rule or break a rule that a lot of other teams in Major League Baseball may or may not have been doing, and the outcome is different, man, I would have a really hard time just saying, well, losing's not so bad.
Yeah, you absolutely agree right now that if the Rangers had been caught, you wouldn't want all the players to be suspended or banned forever, right?
I mean, I wouldn't as a fan, but if they did, I would be like, it was worth it. Or I would understand. Seriously, I'm being 100% serious right now. Let's just use those three examples I already threw out there. Let's say Bregman, Springer, Altuve are banned for life. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. The Houston Astros had never won a World Series in their existence. It's totally worth it. Like, I don't wish this happens at all, but here's the scenario I'll pitch to you, Corey. The 2020 Texas Rangers win the World Series, and Joey Gallo, Mike Minor, and Elvis Andrus are banished from baseball for life. Making that deal? Of course you're making that deal.
I really feel bad for Joey, because he could have had a big contract, you know?
Yeah, he could have. But you still got your parade.
Now he's got a World Series, but he can't ever, like, he can't use it, you know, in his favor. Me as a fan, I'm like, yes, that was amazing.
Exactly.
I feel bad for the player. This is an interesting question. Has anyone sued the Astros for lost bets on games? Can you do that?
Oh, wow. You can absolutely do that. I don't know what a judge would stand on the merits of that.
If I was a Dodgers fan and I had a bet ticket still, I don't know why I'd keep it, but would I be able to be like, look at this?
You can. And I'll tell you why you can put that lawsuit together for sure. And I'll get into this.
Shippy, we need to go Vegas and make some bets real quick.
I'm down.
I'll get into this more in Gridiron, but did you see that someone is suing the NFL for the halftime show?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
So dumb. But my point is, like, and this
sue for anything.
And this is something that Major League Baseball really has to watch out for, especially with gambling. And that's what a lot of people said. Gambling coming into the game will corrupt the game. Well, can't you point to this? You remember all the Saints fans, they had their lawsuit against the NFL and the league over and the NFC Championship game last year. So absolutely they could.
I'll also add this. Rangers win the World Series anytime, I will stop bringing up Game 6. All right?
Okay.
All you got to do is win the World Series.
I didn't think I would want them to win the World Series even more, yet here we are. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, 10 way too early predictions for the 2020 NFL season that I think you're going to like. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.